Yesterday we spoke about how the tzemer, the wolf, has to come before the pishtim. The ahava has to come before the yirah. We find in Sefer Devarim a proof to this. Sefer Devarim is the book of Musar. And Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, spoke to the Jewish people, gave them some strong words. And in Sefer Devarim, it's the only book in the Torah where you find expressions a number of times of how much Hashem loves us. Like the Pasuk says, V'tachat ki ahav et avotecha, Hashem loved your fathers. Ki me'ahavat Hashem etchem, because Hashem loves you. Hashak Hashem le'ahava otam, Hashem had a desire, He loved them. Ki ahevecha Adonai Elohecha. Time and time again we see in Sefer Devarim Moshe Rabbeinu giving us this understanding of love that Hashem has for us. It's not a coincidence that the book of Musar in the Torah that gives rebuke is the one that we find that the love of Hashem is mentioned. We see it also by the Nevi'im, by the prophets, the ones that gave very strong rebuke to Am Yisrael, Yeshaya, Yirmiya. We find words like Be'ahavato u'bhemlato hu ge'alam, Hashem showed love and compassion to our people. Va'ahavat olam ahavtich, says Yirmiya. Hashem says, I love you. We find in other Nevi'im, in Hosea, Ki na'ar Yisrael va'ohavehu, Hashem says, I love Am Yisrael. Ahavti etchem amar Hashem. In Malachi we find, Hashem says, I love you. Time and time again, you will see that those who rebuke are those who also speak about Ahava. As we said yesterday, it's not possible to give rebuke without first putting on the garment of wool, the garment of warmth. We find this critical lesson in Sefer Vayikra. Over there, the first pasuk, famous pasuk, Vayikra el Moshe. We find that Hashem called Moshe, and then it says, Vaydaber Adonai Elav. And then Hashem spoke to him. Usually we're used to the words, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Lemor. Here, it was given in a little bit of a different format. Instead of saying Hashem spoke to Moshe, it says first He called Moshe. Vayikra el Moshe. He called him. And then it says, Vaydaber Hashem elav. Hashem spoke to him. So Rashi Alav HaShalom tells us that this actually, although it's an unusual pasuk, but it's actually describing something that wasn't unusual at all. Says Rashi that this pasuk represents the format of how Hashem spoke to Moshe every time He spoke to him. Lechol deberot, says Rashi. Every time you see Vaydaber, when Hashem says Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, every time it says Vaydaber, it happened this way. Ulchol amirot, every time it says Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, anytime you see those words in the Torah, it happened this way. Uchol tzivuyim. And every time it says, Vaitzav Hashem, Hashem commanded. It happened this way. Kadma keri'ah. So it says, Rashi, don't be misled to think that this was an unusual situation. It may be an unusual pasuk, but it's not an unusual reality. Every time Hashem spoke to Moshe, there was first Vayikra el Moshe. The obvious reason why Hashem doesn't say it every time is because Hashem knows he's talking to people who have sechel, people who have brains, and on their own they know that it's unnecessary to say the same thing every time. You say it once, Binyan Ab, you build for yourself a rule for the entire Torah. That's the way Hashem talks to us, not only in this, but in many other halachot. Doesn't have to repeat himself every time. There's a halacha that applies in another place. Once he said it once, person has to know that this was given to him for him to apply in all relevant situations. So here also, not every time he has to write Vayikra el Moshe. It's obvious. Says Rashi, Alav HaShalom, now you know that this happened every time. But what was it all about? Why did he have to call him for? What's the purpose of calling him? The whole purpose was for him to communicate with Moshe. So it should say, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe. What's the calling? Meaning you might think that he called him to get his attention. He might call him because he was busy doing something with someone else. So he's calling him. But says Rashi, that's not what this is all about. Meaning, let me try to explain what I think Rashi means. If this was just a technicality, because he needed to get his attention, so this would not be relevant in the Torah. Obviously, if you want to talk to someone and he's not paying attention, so you got to call him. You don't need the Torah to tell you. By the way, when he called Moshe, he got his attention first. It's obvious. So if that's the reason, this would not be written in the Torah. Torah is not a storybook. It's coming to tell you something. It's coming to teach you something. So therefore, says Rashi, Alav HaShalom, of course, this was not in order to get Moshe Rabbeinu's attention. That's not the purpose of it. So what is it for then? Why would you call someone if someone is sitting across from you and you want to tell him something? So what are you calling him for? It's a very big question. You have his attention already. So why do you have to call him? Just tell him what you want to say. Says Rashi, Alav HaShalom, recognizing this is an obvious question. Says Rashi, Lashon Hiba. Which means you can call someone because you need to get their attention. But it's a different kind of calling. Lashon Hiba. Hiba means love. You want to give the person the feeling that he is beloved to you. It's a lashon, a language of endearment. Lashon hiba. So it wasn't to say, Moshe, come listen. It's not what it was about. It was about showing Moshe that he was loved. He would tell him, Moshe, Moshe. In a way, in a tone, in a whatever it is, that showed Moshe Rabbeinu that he was important, that he was valued. Says Rashi, Alav HaShalom, Lashon Shemalache Hasharet Mishtameshim Bo. So interesting. And this is a language, this language of calling by name to show love. Where do we find the sister who says, if I call you by name, that shows love? But then she's telling you, there is such a system that calling someone by name can show the feelings of the person saying the name. Of course, like I said, the tone has to be right, the way you say it. But calling someone by name is a sign of hiba. Says Rashi, where do we find this? Says Rashi, we find this by the malachim, by the angels. They use this secret. Where do we see that? We say every day. Vekara ze el ze be'amar. Meaning the angels want to get their friends to be involved in doing a mitzvah to sanctify Hashem's name. They want to tell them, let's go. Ready to go. We're about to do something great. What do they do? Vekara ze el ze. They first call them by name. And then ve'amar. And then they say, okay, let's go. This is a very valuable piece of information that we should be reminded of it every time we see Hashem speaks to Moshe. Why does Hashem have to give Moshe Rabbeinu ahava before he teaches him? Why did the angels have to call each other by name with love before they tell each other it's time to serve God? Let's go. It's time to sanctify Him. Why is that necessary? We see clearly from here that to teach someone, whether you're teaching him Torah, even if he's Moshe Rabbeinu, even if the teacher is from the highest caliber, most educated, went to every course, knows how to be giving over material, eloquent in his speech. But you see from here, to give over important information, at least Torah information, valuable information, information that makes a difference in a person's life, there isn't a way to give over that information unless one builds a pipeline of love. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who the Torah describes him as Bechol Beti Ne'emanu, no one as trustworthy, as consistent, as reliable as Moshe Rabbeinu. Imagine I told you, I'm going to give you a student. He's the most reliable person in the world. What a student. Reliable student. Who can find such a person? Reliable is always paying attention. He does what he has to do. He takes it to heart. He practices it. Well, he can't get a better student than a loyal, reliable student. Says Hashem, this man, Moshe, Bechol Beti, in all of my creation, Ne'emanu, he's the one that's most loyal. That's an unbelievable student to have. He was anav mikol adam. Usually people don't learn because they think too much of themselves. What do I need to learn from this person? What does he know? That's what a kid thinks. He's 3 years old. He's already thinking, what does the teacher know? What right they have to explain to me things that I already know on my own? At every age, this is the reality. You have it when they're 4, 5, when they're 12, and when they're 18. And even when they hit 70. Same story, no difference. Person by nature has this feeling that they know everything there is to know. And the proof is, if they don't know it, it must not be relevant. That's the way they think. People think, it can't be something else exists that I don't know about it, because if it existed, I would know about it. So therefore, what's the purpose of learning when I know there's nothing else that I need to learn? Sounds a little funny and crazy, but it's as real and authentic as can be. A person doesn't realize they don't know what they don't know. And therefore, they think they know everything there is to know. Just take that as a rule for life. It's how we are as humans. Had a lot to do with humility, or the opposite of humility. When a person is humble, it's the beginning of understanding they don't know. And all that they know is but a drop in the bucket of what there is to know. Humility gives the person the ability to see that they have way more to go. Ego, arrogance, feeds into this, I know everything because I want to know everything. Because when I know everything, I feel special and great. And therefore, teaching a person who's arrogant is almost a waste of time. I don't want to say a waste of time. The only thing by teaching him you could do is help him become a little less arrogant. And then maybe you could teach him. But teaching an arrogant person is really a waste, because you're talking to a person who feels in his mind full and complete and unnecessary for him to learn anything new. This is what arrogant people, which is probably a lot of us, we all have this issue. It's not like a guy living in somewhere in Russia. Yeah, we're here, all of us. We all had this nikuda. Some had more than others. And our job in life is to be aware of it and humble ourselves that we are very, very small compared to what there is to learn, compared to what there is to know. And even if we sat and we learned for 1,000 years, 24 hours a day, we would still be very, very, very short on how much there is to know. That's a reality. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says about him that he's anav mikol adam. Nobody ever came into this world, not before, not after, that was as humble as Moshe Rabbeinu. What a student. The most dedicated, the most reliable, the most humble. And he was very spiritual. Lokam Navi od veYisrael kemoshe. There wasn't a prophet on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was unique in his capability of connecting to Hashem. So he was a very spiritual, holy man. What a Talmid this is. Imagine, the Talmid is Ne'eman, Anar, and he's a Navi. I gave you such a Talmid. What could you do with him? And the teacher, you know what a teacher is? The creator of the world. All-knowing. You can rely on everything he says, 100%. What a shiur is going to be when the teacher is Hashem and the student is Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the dream connection. But yet comes the Torah and says, what a piece of wisdom this is. Even if the teacher is Hashem Yitbarach and the student is Moshe Rabbeinu. But if you don't do Vayikra El Moshe, if you don't precede the lesson with Ahava, then there's something going to be lacking in the student's understanding of the message. Moshe Rabbeinu, with all of his qualities, will not be as successful in learning God's information until he feels the love that came from the crib. This is a mind-boggling reality. Even as I say it, it's hard to believe it. But we have to believe it, because the Torah is telling us that this is the reality. It's human reality. I'm not saying Moshe Rabbeinu will walk out of the shiur, but it wouldn't be giving Moshe Rabbeinu the best chance of getting an understanding and connecting to what Hashem is telling him. Without Ahava, we wouldn't be able to give over the most important, relevant, true information to people that we care about. We would say, what do you mean? You know how much I prepared for this? I proved everything I said. How many times you see people say that? I don't understand. What went wrong here? I explained everything. I started from Bereshit till the end. I explained every part. I gave a proof. They agreed to me. I asked them, do you understand? I let them ask questions. Everything, beginning to end. What more can I do? How many times have you felt that way with people in your lives? Comes the Torah and says that maybe you're missing the whole beginning connection. You're talking to the walls. Imagine you spoke to the walls and you gave them everything there is to know. Happens to be you thought the student was there, but he didn't show up that day, but you weren't looking. You gave an unbelievable shiur, clarity till no end. And then you're wondering, how come the Talmid didn't understand? The Torah is telling you, in not as extreme, of course, but in that kind of way, one must understand. When you give information to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your friends, to your students, whoever, to your employees, when you give them information, if you don't have Vayikra El Moshe, then you have a hole in the system. It's not giving them the best chance to connect to what you're saying. You care so much about them. You want them to understand, but you have to know the way to get information from one person to another. Vayikra El Moshe. And you know what else is interesting about this? How many times does Hashem have to tell him? He loves him. You know, in our world, if you tell someone I love you, 20 years before, you're laughing. I once had a conversation with somebody. Guy's married 20 years. So I told him, do you ever tell your wife that you love her? He says, Rabbi, I told her when we got married that I love her. And if anything changes, I'll let you know. What a logical system that is. It's such a logical system. This is what it is. If anything changes, I'll let you know. Otherwise, le'olam v'ad. Until you know otherwise. What do I have to tell every time? What? There's a half a minute that a change? Was there a thought that I have to tell you again? Told you already. And that's an extreme example, but I think many, many, many of us feel the same way, more or less. Maybe not as extreme. I did it already. You said, how many times I have to tell? Did you tell your son that you love him? Told him already. When you told him? By the Brit Milah, he told us. You see here the unbelievable principle. It says, Lechol Diberot. The word kol is a very powerful word. Every time Hashem spoke to him, every time. It's mind-boggling. You mean you couldn't rely on yesterday's Ahava? Yesterday you called him too. Every time, kol Diberot. Every single time he spoke to him, there needed to be an investment of Ahava. It's really mind-boggling. I'm sure we don't do this well. I'm sure all of us fall short of this. It might even seem a little too heavy, and we're not supposed to be heavy with people. gotta be smart. But there is such a concept, at least to know that what you told someone yesterday or the feelings you gave over yesterday doesn't stay forever. They expire. It's an interesting thing. Again, who can blame that guy I told you before? But in the world of emotion, it doesn't work like that. Maybe in the world of truth, 1 + 1 = 2 till someone says otherwise. We don't have to go and tell the guy every day, by the way, remember, 1 + 1 = 2. That's the world of emet. The Chot Shabbat says you can't cook. How many times do you have to say it? Once. It's emet. Done. In the world of truth, you only have to say things once. Until something changes, that's the truth. But in the world of emotion, it's not like that. That's why men are very cerebral. Men think with their brain and not with their emotions. And sometimes they bring their emotion as part of their brain. So they're very logical. I don't understand. I already did this. I said this already. What do you want? What do you need more? What? They don't understand? Are they hamurim? They don't remember 10 years ago I bought them a car. They don't remember I bought them a house. Men think with their brain. And when it comes to things of knowledge and intellect, that's fine. But emotion doesn't work that way. And that's what you see here. Emotions expire. You love someone, it's not about the knowledge that you love them that's going to make the difference. It could be intellectually they know you love them. That's not what's going to make a difference. They need to feel that you love them. And feelings don't stay forever. Feelings expire. They have an expiration. And therefore, if you're not going to be on top of your game to constantly give the emotional feelings of ahava to the people that you care about and the people that need your guidance and help, if you're not going to be constantly feeding the emotional part of the person, it will expire. That's a very big hidush that we see here. Hashem didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu the halakha more than once. He didn't need to. Because the halakha is a piece of emet. He told him once, let's move to the next lesson. But when it came to showing him ahava, it has to happen every time. Well, didn't you tell me yesterday? No, it doesn't work like that. What a hidush this is. That emotions expire and they need to be refed. Lekol diberot. You know how many people, how many of us, or people, us, me and you, as we're talking to each other, how many times we make this mistake? It's an obvious mistake. Meaning, it's obvious to us that this is not a mistake. Sometimes you make a mistake and you know, okay, I make mistakes. I know. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't talk like that. But this mistake in most people's mind, it's obvious that you don't need to do this. It's a very big deal to remember this. Things that are obvious are, Torah is telling you, you're wrong. Something so obvious to you could be so off. Lekol deberot. We'll call Amirot every time you see the words Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, it should remind you. You know what just happened? Hashem told him, I love you. In one way or another. He didn't say, I love you, by the way. Notice. Another great lesson from this pasuk. Hashem didn't tell Moshe, I love you. Very often, those words mean almost nothing. Because by expressing them, you're basically trying in the other person's mind to tell them something that they want to hear. And very often, the goal, you're kicking the ball to the goal line, but it's not going there. going somewhere else. The feelings of Ahava are often not told by the actual words of Ahava. Here,
Hashem didn't tell him, I love you. He called him, Moshe, Moshe. Ah, that's a
siman. It gives off feelings of love. It could be Moshe, Moshe. It could be other ways. There are many ways to express to a person that you love them without telling them, I love you. So it's not about saying the words. And often saying the words really doesn't do anything. It's considered in people's eyes as a habitual type of normalcy between people. They tell, I love you. What does it mean? Nothing. It doesn't mean anything.
Vayikra el Moshe.
It's other things that you do that express the ahava. Whether it's actions or other words or whatever it is very powerful. Vayikra el Moshe, to show him love, and then he spoke to him. Another powerful thing in this pasuk. Notice the words. Vayikra el Moshe. Vayidaber Hashem elav. Usually, when one speaks to another, you mention the name of the speaker first, and then the name of the student. Like it says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. That's the proper order. There's the person speaking, he goes first, and then there's the listener, he goes second. So technically, that's the way it works. But if you notice, in this pasuk, it says, Vayikra el Moshe, Vaydaber Hashem elav. He called Moshe, and then Hashem spoke to him. Now that's not really according to grammar, going to Digduk, that's not the way you talk. You don't say Vayikra without saying his name, and then only after reveal to me who called. Again. And he called Moshe. Stop. Who's he? Doesn't say. Then it says, Vaydaber Hashem elav. And Hashem spoke to him. That's not the right way to say it. You don't stop by saying he, and then in the middle of the sentence, tell us who the he was. The way the pasuk should be written is Vayikra Hashem el Moshe. Vaydaber elav. Why is Hashem left to the middle of the pasuk? Big question. This is one of the ways a person shows ahava to somebody. By putting the needs of the other person ahead of themselves. That's a great expression of ahava. Whatever the opportunities are. When you put them ahead of you, you want to do something, but they don't. Or they want to do something else. Right now you're busy with A, but they need B. Would you go get it? Whenever you have a chance to put the other person ahead of you, meaning you need something, you want something, and you put their needs or their wants ahead of you, whenever you have such an opportunity, usually those opportunities you don't love so much. I need my space. Usually when we are involved in such realities, we look for our space. But when we have such a opportunity to be able to put aside our own want and our own desire, and put the other person for that moment ahead, that's called an investment of ahava. You didn't say a word. You didn't get on the microphone. The action of putting someone ahead of you for a moment is a lashon hiba. That's the way of expressing ahava. Vayikra, look at that, beautiful. Vayikra el Moshe. Hashem says first, the name is going to be Moshe in this pasuk. Vayikra el Moshe, you're the priority here. Vaydaber Hashem elar. Hashem's, I'm putting myself second. Putting someone in front is a tremendous expression of ahava. What a pasuk this is. What a beautiful pasuk this is. To top it all off, the Baal HaTurim tells us that there's something unique about the first letters of these three words, Vayikra El Moshe. He says, if you look at the first letter of each word, three words, Vayikra Vav, El Moshe Aleph, Moshe Mem, Vayikra El Moshe is Vav, Aleph Mem, says the Baal HaTurim, Rashe Tevot, Imo. Aleph, Mem, Vav. Says the Baal HaTurim, Imo. Ba'atara, and he brings a pasuk in Shir HaShirim with the crown, She'atera lo Imo. What does the Baal HaTurim want by telling us that the first three letters spell the word Imo, and he brings the pasuk in Shir HaShirim about how Shlomo HaMelech, his mother, she made him a crown. But after this shiur, I think the message is pretty obvious and simple.
Yes.
That the way Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu is that he gave him the ahava that a mother gives her son. The same ahava that you see when you see a mother, how she takes care of her children. You see the ahava clearly in her sacrifice, the ahava in everything that's involved in doing what she does. That's how Hashem looked as a model. Hashem says, I need to give Moshe Rabbeinu, I gotta play now his mother. Whatever his mother would do right now, this is how I have to give that feel. Imo, Vayikra El Moshe, is Imo. I once told one of the rabbis in the yeshiva, he had a last year, one big night, maybe 400 boys dancing together, inspired, and beautiful night. And one of the rabbis asked me, so what are we supposed to be feeling now? So I told him, I don't know if we could do this, but we're supposed to be feeling as you look around and see that every one of these boys has a mother right now in the house saying Tehillim for his success, and worried about him. And we have the job of being that mother. Instead of seeing 400 people, we're supposed to see 400 mothers with their sons next to them. That's called Vayikra El Moshe. It's a big undertaking that when you teach someone, you should feel that you know you have to give them that same feeling as their mother. But that's the way of Hatzlaha. That's the way of getting people to listen to the important information that we have to share with them. And that's why it's no accident that when we talk in the tefillah about Hashem giving us the Torah right before Shema, we speak about Batelamedemo Chokei Chaim, the Beracha right before Shema talks about how Hashem gave us the rules of life And he gave us the Torah. Avinu Avrahman, we ask him to help us learn the Torah, to help us understand it, to help us teach it, to help us keep it. It's Birkat HaTorah. In fact, if someone didn't say Birkat HaTorah in the morning, in Birkat HaShachar, and then they said Ahavat Olam, that's it, they can't say it anymore. Because it's considered the Berachah of the Torah. But notice how this tefillah opens up. Ahavat Olam Ahavtanu. Hashem, you loved us. An eternal love. And that's how we end the Berachah. HaBoher Be'amo Yisrael Be'ahava. What does Ahava have to do with that? Ahava is the general issue. Why over here in Birkat HaTorah we speak about Hashem's love? And by the way, we do an Arbit also, same story. Right before Shema Arbit, what we speak about again. Torah hu mitzvot, chokim hu mishpatim, otanu limata. He gave us Torah, he gave us mitzvot. We start over there. Ahavat olam bet Yisrael amecha ahavta. The connection is very obvious. Before you could teach someone, you must first give them the emotion of ahava. That's what the Rambam says. Keshem she'atel nidim hayavim b'chvod harab. Just like the students are obligated in the respect of their rabbi. Ken harav, kach harav, sarich lechabed et talmidam. So too, the rabbi has to honor his students. And then the Rambam continues, v'tzarich adam lizaher betalmidav. The person has to be careful with his students. Ul ohavam, and to love them. Words, lehizaher, be careful, and to love them. Love them doesn't mean you love them inside. It means you show them love. You have to give them over that love. And I'm going to finish off today with the words of Megillat Esther. It says over there, Lohigida Esther et ama ve'et molata. Esther would not reveal her nation and who she was born to. It's a very big, very hard thing to do. How do you do that? You go into the king's, they're there for 6 months. 6 months in one building, 6 months in another building. First thing they ask somebody when they go somewhere is, what's your name? M.I.D. Who are you? Where do you come from? Remember, they're looking for the queen, for Ahasuerus. You know how much background check they have to look into? Who are you choosing? Who are you? Where you been? Where'd you go to school? Who are your friends? Who are your family? The king's going to marry a girl. He's not going to know her family. Doesn't have to like her family. At least you should know them. You imagine a king would just marry someone without knowing anything about them? How would she possibly keep such a reality? Lo higida Esther. She's there for a year. She would not tell them. They ask her a question, how uncomfortable that is. What's your family's name? Can't tell you. Can't tell you. Really, one of the great miracles of Megillat Esther. How is possible she could even survive? Lo higida Esther et ama ve'et molata. She would not answer the question. She would not reveal.
Well, how come? Says the pasuk, ki, because
Mordechai tziva aleha asher lo tagid. Because Mordechai commanded her, don't tell them. Sounds on this pasuk, like the Maldim says, I think it was the Maldim, or some say, that he didn't tell her the reason. He had a reason. Some say his reason was because when they're going to see that she's not really into marrying the king, they're going to take it out in her family and her people. They're going to say, oh, these people, Even the king they wouldn't marry. What kind of people are they? Even the melech wants to marry them, they won't marry them. So he was afraid that they would take out revenge on her family and her people. So he told her, don't tell them. But he didn't tell her them. He had a reason. Tziva aleha. He commanded her, don't say. And she didn't say. How is it possible? You know, you tell your son to do the most logical thing and you explain to him 100 times why it's good for him and he's still not listening. Easy to do. You explain to him clarity, reasoning, and still you find him not follow. How do you get this young lady for 12 months without reason, in the most difficult situation, most illogical way of behavior, to not listen to them and continue to follow the orders of her teacher, Mordechai? How is that possible? You and I can never do this. Pasuk says clearly, Ki Mordechai tziva aleha asher lo tek. Not because she understood. She didn't not say because she had a reason behind it, John. She had no idea. 12 months she's not doing something that she needs to do. She's getting probably harassed by the people, made fun of, I imagine. Why? Because Mordechai said, don't do it. How do you get such a student? What a talmid is. Well, if you look in the next pasuk, the Megillah gives the reason. Pasuk says, "Ubchol yom bayom." Every single day. Every single day. Ubchol yom bayom. Till like 12 months. Every single day. This gadol ador. Mordechai, every single day, Mordechai mithalech. Mordechai is walking back and forth, pacing in the courtyard in front of this, in front, lefne hatzar bet hanashim, in front of the courtyard of where Esther was. She was in this building and he's walking, not going in, he is walking, pacing every day outside, every day, every day. Lada'at et shalom Esther, because he wanted to know how Esther was doing. Is she at peace? Umaye aseba, and what will happen? What will be done to her? Says the Malvim. Again, I think it's the Malvim. What? Shalom Esther? She's not in prison. She's in a spa. They're preparing her for the king. Shalom Esther. You worried about people when they're in a place that's not so great. This is the best of the best. People are dying to get into this place. Umaye aseba, meaning what? What's going to happen? Meaning if they're going to be choosing her or not? That's not happening now. It's not happening every day. They're there for a long time till they get their turn and the king meets them. We got plenty of time for that. What does that mean? The explanation is that Mordechai knew that Esther was not happy to be there for 1 second. And he was afraid that because of that, they're going to abuse her. They might hurt her. So every day he would walk back and forth, see Ma Shalom Esther, Umaye Aseba. He's afraid they might kill her. Not Ye Aseba if she's going to be chosen. Who knows what they will do to her? And every day, every single day, Shabbat, Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Ta'anit Esther. Oh, no, what is Ta'anit Esther here? Every day, every single day. This is the way you get someone to follow what you say, even if they don't understand it. When a person shows daily, constant, emotional hiba, love and care for another person, it is the pipe that allows anything that a person teaches to enter the person, and a person is able to become a great student and be able to follow even if they don't understand. That's why Darisha Semer Upishtim. It's constant. The Semer has to be constant, and it's for all. Baruch Hu Adonai Olam, Amen.